Thank you for joining us again with Strength for the Journey. Tonight we're going to be discussing a little bit more on having the heart of a servant and how God sometimes needs to purify our motives and get us to a place where we're just serving Him without an agenda, because that's where our reward will truly be, is when we're serving Him as a servant. We have a website called strengthforthejourney.com. It's strength with a number 4. thejourney.com. Also in Spanish, it's another website called Fuerza para el Viaje, and you can go to that link at the bottom of the homepage of Strength for the Journey. There's several new articles that have recently been written. One is called Living in the Stock Pond. The other is called Abracadabra, Next Stop Heaven, and I just finished another one today, Are You Traveling with the 90%? So there's some new articles, as well as these radio interviews, with True News. And there's another web link to S4TJ Radio that includes all the past radio programs on Strength for the Journey. There's also a link for the recent crusade that we just conducted called Panama Power Crusade with Janet and Ray Clark. There's a new video that we posted that has, it's a music video, and it's uploaded on YouTube, but that's on the link as well. And you can see a synopsis of the crusade in about a 5-minute video. Also, there's an interview we did with Ray and Janet Clark posted on that link. And it was a very interesting interview they did, with sharing their testimony of how Janet was a former Muslim and got saved from a woman witnessing to her in a laundromat, and how God totally transformed her life and put her on fire for Him and became a mighty soul winner. And that was 25 years ago, and she's never changed. And that's a very exciting interview if you'd like to go back and listen to that program. So tonight we're going to go into a little bit more details on what is it like to be a servant, and how does God bless a servant? Because most people want to be on top of the heap. They want to be in charge, and servanthood doesn't sound like a very glamorous position. It seems like it's kind of a lower position of anybody, is to be a servant. But the thing about a servant is that he is used in ways that people who try to promote themselves never are. You know, you've heard the old saying that the corporate ladder, when the person finally ends up climbing to the top of the corporate ladder, they find out the ladder's leaning against the wrong building. And that is many times the way it is in the kingdom, is that sometimes people do everything they can to promote themselves, and only to find out that there's a dead end at the end of the road, that there is not the blessing that they were hoping for or thinking there was. When I first gave my heart to the Lord, I had many desires that I wanted to become and what I'd like to do with my life, and many of those things never came to pass. I didn't have the right ingredient, which was the Lord, to propel my boat, and those contrary winds always kept me from reaching my destination. And when I decided that I was going to live my life for Him, some interesting things happened. Doors began to open for me that had never opened before in my life. I began to travel, just taking my camera with to shoot pictures during some crusades the ministry was doing. And then it turned out that they decided that they needed a photographer to travel overseas with them, and I just had been obedient to the Lord. He put on my heart to get out of debt. I sold many, many valuable, precious things to me before this point in time, restored cars and things like that, and I paid my debts off. And when I got a phone call one night, the question was whether I could travel overseas with them a week or two at a time and take off work. And since I'd paid my debts down, I could close my paint and body shop for a period of time, but I remember the Lord put on my heart that I was to be of service to them in whatever capacity they allowed me to, that I was not to go pushing doors open, trying to make something happen for myself. Because many times when we push the wrong doors or push doors open, trying to make something happen, we end up in the wrong room. And that's not what God wants. He wants to open the doors. So I decided that I wanted to see His fingerprints on the doorknob. If I was going to walk through a door, I wanted to see it was really Him that opened the door. It wasn't me trying to barge my way through. And this was one of those doors that opened up in my life. And it was a training ground for me of learning how to be a servant. In watching two other people that truly had a heart to serve the Lord, the ministry couple I traveled with, I'd never seen an example of a real husband who loved his wife like Christ loved the church until I met this man. And he was he would do whatever he could to serve his wife, and not like some person that it was a respect and an honor that he gave his wife. And I remember one time I was traveling alone by him with him on a trip to Sweden, and we were waiting on an airplane to come in and to catch our next flight. And as we were sitting there, he said something to me that just really hit me really hard. But we were talking about how we treat one another, and especially how we would treat our wife. And he said that, you know, I could never say something mean or cruel to Frances, because if Jesus lives in her like he does in me, if I was to say something mean or cruel to her, I might as well look up in the heavens and say, yeah, that goes for you too. Because really, I just said it to him too, if he lives in her. And when I heard those words, I just, wow, I've never heard anything like that before. That's really amazing, someone that would consider another person in such a regard. And then a scripture came to my mind was, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And I realized what he was saying was very accurate, that really the way we treat another person is really the way we're treating the Lord. And if we're really truly serving the Lord with all of our heart, then we should treat another person just like we would be serving him. And there's a number of scriptures that comes to my mind that about serving God and about being a servant of God. And one of those is in Colossians 3:23. And it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Most people, they will just do whatever they have to do to get by. There's no real desire to just to serve people as if they were serving the Lord. As long as that person's eyes are on them, they'll serve them with all their effort. But once their eyes are not on them, things change, and the way they serve a man is not the way they would serve the Lord. Because it says here in verse 24, it says, this is Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for if you serve the Lord Christ, but he hath doeth wrong shall receive of the wrong which he hath done, and there's no respect of persons. So God is looking for us to serve him with all of our heart, and to serve man as if we were serving the Lord. There's another scripture that comes to my mind too, is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. And it talks about how servants, actually verse 5, it starts, says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing that man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So, you know, when you think, well, these are servants, these were like people that maybe worked in someone's home or whatever, but if you think about it, all of us are servants in some way or form, because we go to work every day and we receive a paycheck for our service. And in some ways, we all are servants, because all of us have to serve somebody in some way or form. And this is so important for all of us to realize that if we will serve God first and serve people, whether it be an employer or whoever it may be, whenever he's not looking and we're still have a right attitude and we're serving him with all of our heart, doing the best job we can do, God's going to reward us. And he sees things that we don't, the boss doesn't even see. And we're, I believe, and what I've seen in my own life is just doing things with the right heart, that God has a way of rewarding us because he sees and he rewards us openly. That's what the word says. So God has a way to reward us even though we don't feel like sometimes we're being recognized. But I just find that having the right heart and the right attitude makes us immune from having disappointments, because we didn't do it to have a reward for men. So we're going to listen to a song here in just a moment. It's a song from Sidewalk Prophets called "Lay Down My Life."
All your pain will be made mine. All your troubles, the tears you cry, give it up. All that binds, I will place it on my shoulders, and up this hill I'll climb. Father, give me strength. I know there is no other way, so I lay down my life for you. This is the moment when all will be made new. I know that you don't understand, but this is part of a greater plan. This is part. upon this tree to show true love, to set you free.
He laid down his life to set us free. What less could we do but lay down our life for him? He gave everything to us. How can we not give everything to him? There was an experience that I had personally in the last year and a half, 2 years, that has really transformed my life. I lived in the States all my life, and I thought that's probably where I would live the rest of my life. But some things changed the middle of last year, the early last year of 2012. And I felt the Lord leading me to leave, and I didn't know where to go. And God began to direct my steps, and my family and I came to Central America. And I was very, very, the insecurity of my comfort zone put me in such a position where I literally had to depend on God and cry out to him to guide me and protect me, lead me, direct me, put people in my path that he wanted me to put in my path. And one thing that it did for me, by me becoming this dependent person upon him because of me leaving my comfort zone, I feel like I became a bondservant to him, that I became dependent upon him for everything. And I feel like where I was maybe on a longer leash, I now was on a short leash, just because I could tell that he was demanding, not just asking, but requiring obedience out of me at a different level. And God required me to lay down any of my own agenda. And one of the things he put on my heart was I saw like a chalkboard in front of me, and the chalkboard was erased. He spoke to my heart and said that I was to reduce my life and my family's life to suitcases. And that meant leave probably what most people would think, everything behind, and that was just about what it was. And so my chalkboard was pretty well blank when I came to Central America. And one thing he really put on my heart and spoke to my heart was that I was not to write anything on the chalkboard, that I was to wait on him to write on the chalkboard, that he was going to set my agenda, and then I was required to follow it. He said, I laid my life down for you, and I'm requiring you to do the same for me. The dead men don't have an agenda. A man who has an agenda indicates that he's still alive to his own desires and is dedicated to fulfill them. Only a dead man can truly be dedicated to God. Anyone else still has an agenda. If we are alive to ourselves, we are dead to God. If we are dead to ourselves, we'll be alive to him. Only by obeying his agenda will we bear fruit. And this is where I believe John chapter 15 is indicated or is illustrated of he is the vine and we are the branches. And we have to remember that we can't do anything without him, that it's only in him and living in him and by him do we even bear fruit. Because apart from him, it says that we can do nothing. And that means the only fruit that we'll ever bear is if we're attached to him, depending upon him. And I didn't really understand this when I was back in the States, because I pretty well compared myself with other people. And I didn't really understand until I laid my life down to a different degree. You know, Peter, when he was following Jesus and a bunch of disciples of theirs, it says that he said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no part with me. And it says from that point on, this says that many of the disciples said, this is a hard saying, who can hear this? And they said that they walked no more with him. They left him and walked no more with him. And Jesus looked over to Peter and says, are you going to leave me too? And he said, where are we going to go? Only you have the words of life. And so he realized that only Jesus had the words of life, but there came a point of testing Peter at a different place and a different level that God wanted to take him. And Peter said that he was determined that he was ready to go die with Jesus. And, of course, Jesus said that before this night's over, you're going to deny me three times. And, of course, Peter just couldn't believe it, you know, that this is not, certainly couldn't be true. But, of course, it was true. And he found out there was still something inside of him that wasn't totally dead to self. And I think sometimes we think we are someplace maybe where we're not, that our commitment level is where it maybe isn't, that maybe we think more highly of ourselves or a walk with him than we should. I heard the Lord kind of speak to me the other day that how narrow is the narrow road? It's narrower than you think. And the journey's longer than we think, and the road is narrower than we think. The road actually, as we walk with him, it actually gets more and more narrow. It gets more restrictive. God requires more obedience from us. And this is what he was requiring out of Peter. There was a level of obedience God wanted to take him to, because there was something more that God wanted to do through Peter's life that couldn't be done with the level of commitment that he had. Because where he was at the time, Peter really was fearful. He ran from his life, for his life. He was even fearful of a woman questioning him. He was scared for his life, even at that point. So how was he going to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach to the multitudes and be willing to be taken to prison? And how was that going to happen if he was so fearful that he was scared for his life? So what Jesus had to do is he had to take Peter to a different level with a commitment. And when he denied him in that courtyard, something happened inside of him. It says he went away and wept bitterly. And something went on, and God changed his heart to a different place. And he realized that this is something that he needed to go. He wasn't ready, but I think something changed, because when they were fishing, they went fishing, and it talks about in John chapter 21. And when they went fishing and they hadn't caught anything all night, and there's somebody on the shore that tells them, asks them if they caught any fish, and they said no, not had caught any fish. And he said, well, cast your net on the other side of the boat, and you'll have a catch. And so when they caught the huge load of fish and they were dragging them into the boat, all of a sudden something just kind of dawned onto Peter. He recalled hearing those words once before. And John said, it's the Lord. And suddenly Peter just jumps in the water and just swims to shore. Something had to have happened inside Peter's heart, because he didn't even wait for the ship to hit the shore. He went right straight to the shore himself, and he swam to the shore to the Lord. And something I believe, and I don't have any way to prove this, but I believe that when Jesus was cooking fish on the shore, I believe that those were just obedient fish that he called to his hand, and they came to him to feed his disciples. And I believe just like those fish came to his hand, those 150 some odd fish that swam into the net for the disciples were just the obedient fish out in the water that God spoke to those fish, and they went into that net. And all of a sudden, Peter now is swimming to shore just like those fish, or swimming into the net, or swimming into the Lord's hands to cook for the disciples. Peter's ready to lay down his life now. He's ready to just swim into the Lord's hands for the Lord's purpose. And this is the point that he finally got to, and this is where God wanted to take him. So once they're on the shore and they're sitting around and they're having fish, Jesus asked Peter, he says, do you love me? And he said, well, oh yes, sure I do. You know I do. And he had to ask him three times, and finally Peter was broken. He said, oh, only you know, Lord. And he said to Peter, he said, when you were young, you could go pretty much, kind of paraphrased, go where you wanted. But when you're old, someone else is going to lead you by the hand and take you where you don't want to go, signifying of Peter's death to come. And what I envision is this road, this narrow road that Peter found himself on. And this road, this narrow road, gets narrower and narrower as our life goes on with the Lord. He requires more out of us the more we grow in Him. And so this narrow road comes to a vanishing point, like a long road in the distance, but it's not an optical illusion. It's a reality. This road gets narrower, and having our eyes fixed on the apex of that road doesn't matter what's going to happen to us along the way. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on the end of the journey, that we're going to be obedient to the end. The Bible says that he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And so there's a level of obedience that God is calling each one of us to. And we have to be obedient, just like a bond servant. We have to be obedient no matter what God's saying for us to do, no matter what he's calling us to do for him, that he's requiring obedience out of us if we're going to be used by him. Because if you think about it, what good is a servant that's disobedient? The only servant that's a good servant is an obedient servant, a servant that serves his master to do whatever he asks of him. And this is what many people struggle with, is this obedience level, because they still want to live for themselves. They still have an agenda. They still have a motive. And it's not until we lay down this motive of why we do what we do, it's just doing whatever it takes to do it with a good heart, a cheerful heart, and whatever it costs us to do. I feel like one of the things that God spoke to me after I came here was that he was calling me to lay down my life, and that if I wanted to do or become what he wanted me to be, I had to go to that kind of level of a commitment to him. That if it required my own life to be obedient to him, that's what he was requiring of me. And that's not an easy pill to swallow, because most people want to serve the Lord, but they still want to live. They still want to know that it's going to be okay in the end, that we're not going to be crucified upside down or have our neck in a guillotine. But you know what? If we really trust God and really trust him with all of our heart, then it really doesn't matter what happens at the end of the road, whether we die in our sleep or we die with the testimony of Jesus Christ on our lips. That doesn't matter, because if we trust him, we know we're going to be with him no matter what, and the reward will be great for those who serve him even unto death. And this is where fear will go out the door. It will flee from us, from any intimidation the enemy wants to put on us. One of the biggest things that the enemy does, and with many Christians today, is that he puts such fear in them that they can't speak, that they're afraid to open their mouth, even to share Jesus with their neighbor, much less to contradict an ungodly world with the truth. So the enemy's biggest tactic is to shut the mouth of a Christian. Because the open mouth of a Christian is the most dangerous weapon against the enemy that we have. Because the Bible says that they overcame the enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and had loved not their lives unto the death. That they were not fearful even of death, and that's what gave them such boldness. If you think about it, what happened to Peter when he went to that point where Jesus made the prophecy to him that somebody else was going to take him by the hand and take him where he didn't want to go, signifying of his death, then he knew what the end of the road looked like for him. And so what happened after the day of Pentecost, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a boldness that rose up in Peter that didn't rise up in the other disciples. Something took place in Peter that he was fearless. And this same fearless man stood in front of Ananias and Sapphira and said that you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And God used him in a powerful way to bring judgment to two people that were lying, and brought fear upon the whole church. The Bible says that fear fell upon the whole church when this thing took place. And so this is a man that God could use because he didn't fear for his life. And I think of how many people are out there today that want to be servants of God, but yet they're scared of death. They're scared of giving their life. And so they look like a deer in the road, caught in the headlights, that they're just frozen in the middle of the road, just waiting for that car to come and splat them. That we have to get to a point where there's nothing that can bring fear into us. And that's where, when we become totally dead to self and totally a servant of God, even unto death, that is when God begins to use us in a great way. That God can then trust us, actually. I found that something that this process that I've gone through in the last 2 years, that the Lord speaks to me like I've never heard him before. That many times I'll wake up in the morning and I'll just hear a few words, maybe a couple sentences, and I feel the impression to get up and get a pen in my hand. And as I do, then that may be 2 hours that I'm writing, and I didn't have a clue what I was going to write until I sat down, maybe two sentences. And as I wrote those two sentences, it just began to flow. And this is what these articles on Strength for the Journey website have, many of those have come from. It's just a journal. In the middle of the night, I'll hear a word, and then I just begin to write, and these articles come out of that. And I just believe that God is because that I have really meant it with all my heart, that I'm willing to do whatever he wants me to do now, that I feel like it doesn't matter anymore, that I know that he has the best intentions for me, and that he will take care of me all the way to the end. And he'll take care of you too. Many of out there are just maybe just a little fearful of the times that we live in right now. There's so many things that are happening in the world, and God doesn't want us to be fearful. He wants us to be trusting. And we're only going to get there when we really do mean what we say, that we really do trust him, that he's got the best of intentions for us. The Bible in Hebrews says that without faith it's impossible to please God. It says, for those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to believe that he exists, first of all, because if we don't believe that he exists, then how can we put trust in something we don't believe even exists? And then it says that we must, that we have to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God is a rewarder for those who are obedient, those who desire to please him. And when those two combinations come into play, that we know that he exists and we know that he rewards those who obey, then something very amazing takes place in our life, and there's a transformation in our heart, and fear is not grip us any longer. I watch the news. I'm just amazed just at the weather patterns are going on right now, just the things that are going on with in the Pacific Ocean, to just it, the times are changing. And for many people, it says that in the end times that men's hearts will fail them for fear. And God doesn't want his people to be fearful. He doesn't want his people to be unbelieving. And when unbelieving and fearful are two words that many times, and really they go hand in hand, they are linked together, because when we don't believe, then fear can grip us. When we don't trust, that's when fear can take a hold of us. And if you think about the children of Israel, when they went out of Egypt and they went to the promised land, or they were going toward the promised land, that because they weren't trusting God, that they, even as much as God was doing for them, as much as he was opening Red Seas, dropping manna out of heaven, water flowing out of rocks, there still was a level of trust that never entered into their hearts. That the moment anything could bring doubt into their mind, they lost all memory of the past events that had brought them to that place. And God doesn't want us to forget the past. He doesn't want us to forget where we came from. He doesn't want us to forget how He's done so much for us that any of us that are alive right now, it's only by the grace of God that God's hand has been upon us and has brought us through so much. And if we'll look back and we'll be thankful for what God has done in our life in the past, that it will change something on the inside of our heart, and that we will find ourselves more trusting in Him because we know what He's done in the past He can do again in our lives. And this is where God wants us to just put our total trust in Him, that let Him do something that only He can do. And we're going to listen to another song here in just a moment, and we'll be right back.
Everything you've done for me.
holds our memory together of our past, of what God has done in our life, is thankfulness. That if we'll be thankful for what He's done, that we'll remember what He's done. I know someone that it was actually my grandmother years ago. She'd had some very difficult things that had happened in her life. She was given away at a very young age to another family back in the early 1900s. And when she found out, as she grew up later, as a young lady, she found out that the people that she was living with wasn't even her real mom and dad. And she allowed a seed of bitterness to enter into her heart. And she would not forgive her mother for giving her away when she was a child. Her father had passed away, and the reason why her mother had given her away is she didn't feel like she could take care of her. So she found a good home and a good parent, set of parents that would take care of her daughter and raise her. And because of this bitterness that she allowed to enter into her heart, as she got older, I remember going and visiting her many times when I would go out to California. And she would tell me stories of how people had mistreated her or had not treated her properly. And she would tell me the same story three or four times when I would go to visit her. And she had forgotten that she'd even told it to me once. But all her memories were of what things were the bad memories. You could not even remember any good memories of her past, just because she didn't have a thankful heart, because she had a bitter heart that it was almost like she was tormented by the past because of her unforgiveness and because she wasn't thankful for what God had done in her life. She had no memories of the good times. And I believe that this is the very key ingredient to remembering what God has done, as being thankful for what God has done in our life. The children of Israel forgot so quickly. They had just gone through the Red Sea. The Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea. And it wasn't but 3 days, and they were murmuring, complaining, because there was no water. And sometimes we have a short memory if we forget. And God wants us to remember so that there's a freshness and a thankfulness. And one thing I've discovered in the last 2 years that's really been a part of my life is worship, and finding a place of worship and listening to good worship music that changes my heart and it softens my heart. And we all need that in our life. We all need God to soften our hearts, because there's so much in the world that goes on that attempts to harden our heart, either experiences that we've gone through in the past or even just on a daily basis, that things that we have to go through, whether it be at work or at home, children not wanting to be told what to do by their parents. They forget how blessed they are to have a home, have every meal provided for them by their family, and they just aren't thankful for everything that's been done for them, and they just go off with an unthankful heart out of rebellion, and they find out that the road is not easy out there. And I've seen this happen a number of times as children leave home, and they aren't thankful for everything that's happened to them in their life. They just forget. They forget. And so this is something so important for all of us. I want to read some scripture out of Romans chapter 6. And this is something that is key to a new life, is a death that has to begin. And we've talked about a death to an agenda, that if we'll have a servant's heart, and that if our agenda will be just a clean slate, that let God write the agenda of what He wants us to do, that we will have His desires, because we won't super His seed His desires with our own. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And this is so key for all of us. If we're going to have this freedom from the old man, from the old nature, we have to be dead to self. We have to be dead to our old agendas, for old motivations, and that God's agenda and God's motivation can live in us, and all of his the activities that he wants to live through us by the Holy Spirit is allowed to move and allowed to be free. And as long as we're fearful of what might happen to us, like Peter was when he stood in the courtyard that day and just a woman asking him, "You were one of them," and he denied him at that moment because there was something still inside of him that's still alive that had to die. But once that thing died inside of Peter, he became a different man. Once he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was baptized with fire on the day of Pentecost, there was a new person that was alive now. That this was just an old shell that looked like Peter, but there was something different about him. That there was now Jesus was really living on the inside of him. That his passion, now God's passion, Jesus, the passion of Jesus was now living inside of Peter. And just as Jesus wasn't afraid of man, Peter wasn't either. And this is the link that many of us are missing, is we're still alive. And the evidence of being alive still is given by our fear of man. And this is probably one of the biggest things that I have struggled with most of my life is the fear of man, wanting to be approved by man, wanting to be maybe even promoted, that you're recognized and to be seen. And this thing that happened to us when we came here and God erased my agenda and I began to see his hand move in my life like never before, I realized that this is what he'd been waiting for all my life, that he was just waiting for me just to completely lay down my life and put it in his hands, that he could do something with me that he needed to do. But something had to die inside of me, and there's still a process of death going on, but there's something that happened here that was critical to what God is doing in me right now. And God is opening doors that are just unbelievable right now in my life. Just this radio program is an unbelievable miracle of God. We came to Panama not knowing anybody. We went to a church and just started to attend. The Lord promoted me to a leadership position amongst the men. Then I was offered a radio program to put on the radio. Their internet radio on ministeriodelespiritu.org, and now just recently in the last week, I was asked to do a half an hour program for Strength for the Journey that will be broadcast on shortwave radio all over North and Central America, and I'll give the call letters or the station number, I guess. I'm not real sure exactly how short waves work, but there will be a frequency that will be done on here starting around the middle of February. But these are just things that God is doing that I didn't have any part of happening. It's just it has happened by me laying down my life in a new dimension for the Lord. He's opening doors now, and his fingerprints are on the doorknob. And that's what really gets exciting, is when you know it's him opening the doors. It's not you pushing doors open and making something happen. you're just saying, Lord, use me however you want to. And this is something that I know he wants to do with all of us, that he's waiting for us to lay down our agenda, lay down our motives, even if you're in ministry right now, he's wanting to do something new right now. He's wanting to take people out of their comfort zone and use them in places that need your ministry, need your encouragement, need what God has done in your life. In other nations of the world, there are hungry people around the world that want to hear the truth. Many of us are trying to force the gospel down people who are just literally regurgitate, just vomit. They don't want to hear it. They have no intent, no desire to hear the truth. They want to do what they want to do, and it's kind of like Jeremiah was speaking to this rebellious, stiff-necked people, and nobody wanted to listen. They just called him a bad news preacher and didn't hear a word they said. But I found that coming here and going to a foreign land, that people want to hear the gospel. We went and did a crusade. We went into children's hospitals and shopping malls, and we were just passing out tracts, and people were just coming up and asking for them. It wasn't like we were saying, would you like to take one? They were asking, I want one. And it's exciting to see hunger in people that want to hear the gospel. We went into colleges, universities, and people, they raised their hand not halfway, but when they want to accept Jesus, their hand was up all the way. There's just a desire around the world for people, that people want to hear the Lord's the truth about the Lord. So right now, if you're listening to this, and you might be in the United States right now, and you may kind of have just a feeling like maybe God is maybe calling you to the mission field. It may not just be your imagination. I really believe God is calling people right now to leave their comfort zone, that there's a work God wants to do in another land. And don't be fearful. Don't be fearful to leave your place of comfort. Jesus said that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And a hole for a fox is a place of security and safety, and a bird nest is a place of comfort. And Jesus didn't have that. He couldn't, because here's the problem. What happens when we get ourselves so comfortable in our little lazy boy chair that we go to sleep, that spiritually we go to sleep if we're in this comfort zone. And Jesus couldn't afford to go to sleep. He had a mission that had to be accomplished, and he could not afford to get too comfortable. And this is one thing I found as of recent, that the biggest place of growth in our lives is outside of our comfort zone. And there's a lot of things God had done in my life by traveling all over the world as a photographer and literally going on mission trips. I was thinking about the first part of 2012 that I want to take some of my children on a mission trip, but God just kept increasing the vision that it wasn't just a few children taking on a mission trip, it was the whole family living on a mission trip. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade the experience that we have had. And I'm so ready to go further forward now with wherever God wants us to go. And I'm just ready right now that the Lord has a plan. He has a calling. He has a destiny. And I am so set to hit the tape at the end of the finish line. I've never been so excited about whatever it is that God has in the future, that I am ready to go and do, even if it's moving to another land from this point here. I don't know. But all I know is that I just want to be obedient. I want to have a servant's heart, that it doesn't matter what God says to do, that it's just yes, sir, and let's go. Let's go do it. Whatever it is, I know he'll be with me. I know he'll strengthen me. He'll empower me. He'll give me the words to say when I need to say it. I've just noticed even recently, just communicating with friends on Facebook, that I'll see something, maybe somebody has a comment, or maybe a friend has a scripture that he's posted on Facebook, and the Lord will give me a word to say or to speak. And it may be just a word that somebody needs to hear. So I encourage you, even if you're just on Facebook, and the Lord may have a word for you to post that may be just the word that somebody needs to hear that day to encourage them. And God has called all of us to be an encourager and to strengthen each other. And this radio program is dedicated just for that reason. It's called Strength for the Journey for a reason, because we all need strength for the journey that lies ahead, that there are trials and tribulations that lie ahead, that all of our faith is going to be tested probably like we can't imagine. And now's the time to strengthen ourselves during the good times. There were 7 years before the famine that Joseph stored wheat. And the purpose of that storage, that time of plenty, was to strengthen themselves in the form of storing food for the time of lack. And this right now, whatever time, if you have a job right now and you're getting plenty, don't spend it all. Save it for whatever is needed and be in the future. Because there may be a time when you will wish that you had that finances that you're making right now saved. Buy gold, buy silver, buy some place, find some way that you can save what you have without spending it. Sometimes if you have cash in the bank or in your checking account, it just kind of disappears like sand through the hand. So find some way that you can save without spending, because there may be a time when that money, when that finances will be badly needed. I saved for 4 years, not understanding why, but after the Lord called us to move to a foreign land, I understood now then what the importance was of my obedience, not even understanding why I was saving everything I could. There was a point in time, 1 year during the last four that before we had left, that I think I saved probably 30% of everything that was made. And I'm so glad that I did, because I needed that to move, to leave, to go fulfill what God had called us to do. If you don't even have a passport, I suggest that you get a passport, because then you're going to be ready when God calls you. If He does call you to a foreign land, that you're ready to go, that you have your passport and you're ready. And this is part of faith, acting in faith. If you feel like God is calling you to do something, what is needed most of all is just obedience, that just obey, and you see what God will do. God is just looking for obedient people that He can use. And obedient people are blessed people, because God can use those that trust Him and those that hear His voice. So I encourage you to spend time with the Lord. Get up early in the morning if you feel impressed, if He's waking you up. Put a pen in your hand or put the Bible in your lap and just let God lead you. Let Him speak to you. He wants to talk to you in those early morning hours, because it's quiet, there's no, none of the distractions are there, and I found this is the best time of day for me to find that time with Him. So I encourage you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You watch what He'll do in the next few years in your life if you'll begin today and act in obedience. So thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey, and we look forward to being back here with you next time.